Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Let me ask you this question. Did you come this morning expecting to hear a word from God? Do you really believe the Lord is going to speak to you? Maybe you're here this morning and you have a decision to make. Did you come in that anticipation that God may give you the answer? I think too many times as God's people, we come to church and we don't expect anything. We expect the service to move us, to uplift us. But beyond that, our expectations are very little. I believe with all my heart this morning that God wants to speak to you individually. He loves you. He has an answer for your problems. He wants to be real. Would you allow Him to do that this morning? Christians especially, will you listen to this message? Will you let it seep into your soul? Will you repent if you need to? Father, bless this morning. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you. Lord, may your word go forth this morning in power, in clarity. Touch someone today. Help them to know that you're God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, choir. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Be looking at the last verses 7 through 10. This morning I want to talk to Christians. This is one of those messages that you need to hear. This is one of those messages that will clarify your attitude towards God. Let me ask you this question. Do you ever feel at times that God owes you something, Christian? You say, Brother Mike, no, I don't feel like God owes me anything, really. You ever get disappointed with God? Have you ever gotten maybe just a little bit angry at God? Here you are, you come to church every Sunday. You try to live the Christian life. And right out of the blue, something happens to you or to your family or to your loved ones. And the question that we always ask is, God, why? Don't you see what I do for you? Do you ever think sometimes that God is lucky to have you? You know, think about all the hours that you put into this church. Think about all the hours that you put in every Sunday and add that up over a year's time. Think about all the times you've come to committee meetings, work days, committee, church attendance, all these things I'm talking about. Think how much time you spend here. It adds up. Think about all the times you work for the church away from this place. Don't ever get to the point that you think, Christian, you're irreplaceable. No. I read our text today a couple weeks ago. I've had this sermon for 2 or 3 weeks now. And it hit me square between the eyes. See, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is talking about sin. That's how he begins the chapter. About if you cause someone to sin, what's going to happen to you? And then he goes on, then talks about forgiveness, how you're supposed to forgive your brother. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, you're supposed to say, I forgive you, if he asks for forgiveness. And then he talks about faith. The disciples come to him and say, Jesus, increase our faith. And he said, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can do whatever you want. You can have mountains move. And then, starting in verse 7, Jesus wraps this conversation up with what I thought in the beginning was a little bit different. Why in the world would Jesus say what he said, starting in verse 7, to these disciples? He's talking about sin and faithfulness and forgiveness and faith. Look what he says in verse 7. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? Now look in verse 10. Look what Jesus says. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have done our duty. Do you see what Jesus is doing here with his disciples? Jesus is talking about all these spiritual things that they're doing, all of these things they're doing for the kingdom of God. And he ends the conversation by saying, guys, that's just your duty. Don't ever get to the point that you think you're something. Because in actuality, all you are is a servant. Can I ask you something this morning, member of Pocahontas Baptist Church? Do you think of yourself as a servant? Is that your attitude in this place? Jesus said there's 2 reasons God does not owe us anything. Number 1, we are servants. And I'm going to explain to you in just a moment what it means to be a servant. Jesus said not only are we servants, we are unworthy servants. Boy, what an adjective. Do you see yourself as a servant? Let me tell you, if the church could wrap their arms around servanthood, it would change the church. The bottom line is this, servants serve. That's what we're called to do. Jesus said God doesn't owe us anything because we are just doing our duty. That should be our attitude. Lord, I want no recognition. Lord, I want nothing special. I'm just doing what you've called me to do. And so many times, we want so much more. Can I ask you this question? If you listen to church, say amen. Have you ever gotten mad at the church because you weren't recognized for doing something? Ever gotten mad? Let me ask you something. Is there anything in this place that is below you that you're not going to do? You know, there are folks who don't want to do any work. They want to make the decisions, but they don't want to do the work. No, they don't want to do that. Listen, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching the people about prayer. And he told them, he says, when you pray, don't stand in the synagogues or on the street corners, but go into your room, close the door behind you, and pray privately. And then Jesus says this to the people, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, here's what I find. Servants never get the attention. Servants never, ever get the glory. They're just servants. They serve. Listen to me, church member. No one may ever see what you do for this church, but God does. You may not be highly visible in this place, but God knows what you do. Way too many church members want to be visible. They want everybody to see. And Jesus said, no, you're just a servant. This morning I want to give you four things about being a servant. Simple, but so true. And Jesus brings it out in what he told the disciples. Here's the first thing. Because we are servants, number one, we are called to ordinary tasks. We are called to ordinary tasks. Look in verse 7 again. Look what Jesus told his disciples. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Folks, let me tell you something. Even in those days, those two jobs were not glamorous. Plowing or looking after the sheep wasn't very popular, I promise you. But here's what you have to understand. A servant's job is never that away. It is never glamorous. Many times a servant does what nobody else wants to do. Why does he do it? That's his job. Let me tell you something. A servant will pick up a broom, will pick up a mop in a heartbeat, and also will go to the pulpit and talk what God has done in his or her life. It doesn't matter to a servant. A servant will dig a ditch if that's what needs to be done. You know what I find? Listen to me, church. Most jobs in the church are not glamorous. They're not. They're everyday tasks that need to be done for the church. And here's what I also find. Many of these tasks are thankless. No one's going to run up to you and thank you for cleaning out a closet. No one's going to thank you for trimming a bush. There is so much that goes on in this place that is behind the scenes. Let me tell you something. When you visit the sick, when you call someone who is hurting, when you fix a meal, when you pray for someone at this place, no one will probably ever know you've done that. Ordinary task of church members. But God sees it. And God will reward it. You know what I see from Scripture? God uses the ordinary. He used 12 men who were so ordinary, it was just ridiculous. They really had nothing to give. But God changed the world through those men. Ordinary. You know what? God has changed the world that we live in through men just like you and me and women. And many of us think we have nothing to give to God. Most of our lives, I was thinking about this week as I was walking, is lived in the ordinary. Our names will never be in lights. But that's okay. You know why it's okay, church? We're servants. That's who we are. That's our attitude. Folks, if you want God to use you in a mighty way, you need to learn to become a servant. I remember Naaman in the Old Testament. You remember the story? He had leprosy. The prophet told him what to do, where to go wash in a dirty old river. And he said, no way, I'm not going to do that. He could tell me anything else in the world to do, but I'm not going to do that. So he went away unhealed. And finally he came to his senses and said, you know what? If I want to get rid of this leprosy, I might want to do what the prophet told me to do. So he goes and washes and becomes clean. There's no way he was going to stoop to that. But that's what made him whole. Because we are servants, we are called to ordinary tasks. thank you for what you do in this church. Many of you do stuff that no one ever knows. It's not mind-boggling. It won't shake the earth. But it's what servants do. Look at the second thing. Because we are servants, get this, we are called to put others first. Look in verse 8. Look what Jesus said. Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? You see what Jesus was saying? He said, you know what, servants, they don't come in from a long day's work. They don't come in all tired, and they don't sit down at the supper table and start feeding themselves. You know what servants do? They serve the master first. They put their needs and they put their wants aside. I don't care how tired they are. I don't care how hungry they are. And they take care of the master first. See, that's what servants do. They put other people first. Their needs are secondary. A servant, listen to me, never, ever thinks about himself. He is always anticipating the needs of others. Folks, let me tell you something. It is not easy always putting other people first. There's times that you want to speak out when you just remain quiet. There's times that you don't want to uplift anybody because you want to be lifted up. There are times when you want to just do what God has called you to do publicly. Many times that never comes. Folks, it's not easy being last when sometimes you want to move up the line. It's not easy praying for people who hate you and hurt you. It's not easy turning the other cheek. But that's what servants do. It's not about me. About you. Can I ask you something this morning? Are you putting others first? Are you putting others first in this church? Matthew 19:30 says this, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Folks, you know people who always want to be first. They got to be the first to make the decision. They got to be first in line. Know anybody like that? See, people who always want to be first love the world more than Jesus. Because Jesus said, you're a servant and you're last. They love the recognition of men. And they all love the recognition of Jesus. Look over in chapter 18 now of Luke. Look at this story, talking about putting others first, being a servant and have a servant's heart. I love this story. You remember this story, Luke 18, starting at verse 9? To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. See, servants don't ever pray about themselves. They don't ever uplift themselves. God, I thank you. I'm not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. That is bold. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Did you notice in verse 12, the guy didn't do any work? Just stuff that he could get seen. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look to the heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's a servant. That's a servant. That's what we're called to be. Number three, because we are servants. Now get this, if you listen and say amen. We are called to obey. Look in verse 9 now, chapter 17. Look what Jesus said. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? Listen to me. If you haven't heard anything else, listen to this statement. Obedience for a servant is never, ever optional. It's not. Listen, a servant cannot tell his master he's not going to obey. A servant can't look at his master and say, you know what, I know you want me to do this, but I don't think so today. It's not on my agenda. You know, maybe I'll get to it, maybe I won't today. I just don't think I'm going to be able to get to it. A servant never, ever tells his master that. Listen, a servant may not feel like he wants to obey, but he always does. A servant may have a different opinion from his master, but it doesn't make any difference. He is called to obey. Listen to me. A servant never, ever talks back to his master. And you know what? Listen to me. A servant never, never expects a thank you. Why, Brother Mike? It's his job. Listen to me. Obeying should be second nature to us as servants of Jesus Christ. It ought to be in our DNA. Jesus, you are master. I am just a servant. You tell me what to do, and I am going to do it. Can I ask you something this morning? How difficult is it for you to obey your master, Jesus Christ? Young people, are you listening to me? How difficult is that? Do you want to talk back to Jesus? Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. You want me to? No. Wait a minute. We need to sit down and talk about this. I need to pray about it. What do you got to pray about? He's already told you what to do. Many times we want to argue with Jesus. Many times we say, now wait a minute, Jesus. I don't think the timing is right. I think I'll be able to get to that and obey it, but not right now. And folks, there are people who claim the name of Jesus Christ as their master and Lord, but refuse to obey Jesus. You know what's happening? That person is the master. Jesus is the servant. Jesus, you need to do this. Jesus, you need to bless this. Jesus, you need to be here when I get in trouble. Jesus, I need you. That's not what servants do. But we do that with God. Let me ask you, parents, have you ever had a child talk back to you? Don't tell me how you responded. I can honestly say I talked back to my dad one time. One time. And after, I never seen a man get a belt off so quick in my whole life. It was like, whew. I said, Dad, was that belt even on you? And he wore me out. I promise you, if it was today, he'd still be in prison. Guess what? From then on out, for the rest of my life, when my dad said, Mike, I need you to do something, yes, sir, Pop. What do you need me to do? I learned my lesson. Do you understand how great a God that we serve? Because there are so many times God could whip his belt out and literally just beat us because we disobey. We're the servants. But he says, I love you. You know, for 10 years of my life, God should have wore me out. He should have literally wore me out every day. But you know what he did? He just loved me. He loved me. Someone has said this, you have not really learned a commandment until you've obeyed it. Guys, especially, do you remember General Patton? The famous general in the army, World War II. Listen, this comes from his book that he wrote on leadership. It's called General Patton's Principles for Life and Leadership. He said this, for a man to be picked for promotion, here's what I do. I line all the candidates up and I give them these orders. Dig me a ditch behind this warehouse, 8 feet long, 3 feet wide, and 6 inches deep. And then I turn and I walk and I leave. Then he said, I go behind another warehouse and I just look at the men. And he said, every time, here's what I see. Some men will immediately start arguing over the depth of the ditch when he already told them how deep. He didn't mean 6 inches, did he? Who could use a 6-inch ditch? I mean, come on. Did I hear that right? Some other men would say, you know, we're not going to use our shovels to do that. Let's go get a backhoe. And they'll start arguing over that. And then others will look up at the sky, he said, and they'll see the weather, and maybe it's threatening. And say, you know what, guys? We'll dig this ditch tomorrow. But he said, there's always, always one guy who looks at the rest of the guys and he said this, let's quit arguing about this ditch. Let's just dig it and get out of here. And General Patton said, that's the guy who always gets the promotion. That guy's a servant. It doesn't matter the orders. It doesn't matter what the master wants done. They just do it. See, servants, obey. There's one other thing I want to give you this morning. Because we are servants, we're called to ordinary tasks. Number two, we're called to put others first. Number three, we're called to obey. And here's the last one. We are called to humility. Look in verse 10. Look what Jesus said. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, this is your attitude. This is what you need to say to yourself. We are unworthy servants. Notice the word unworthy. Folks, when I think about God, you know what I think about? I think how unworthy I am to be called a child of His. Folks, I think about how unworthy I am to go to heaven, how unworthy I am to be blessed. Folks, I am unworthy to stand behind this pulpit and preach the gospel to you every day. I mean, every Sunday. I'm unworthy to do that. God could get someone so much better, so much whatever, but He's called me. I don't deserve that. Folks, at the end of the day, no, I don't care how much I do for Jesus Christ. I don't care who I've visited. I don't care who I've won to the Lord. I don't care how many meetings I go to. I don't care how much time I spend in this place. I am only doing my duty. So I can't go like this. Can I ask you something? Do you like being a servant? Be honest. Do you really like that? Do you really understand what it means to be a servant? Servants do what their master says, period. I long for the day, are you listening to me, church? If you listen and say amen. When God speaks to me through His Holy Spirit and says, Mike, this is what I want you to do. I long for the day when I say, thank you, Lord. Let's get to it. Let's go, God. I'm ready. But so many times, listen to me, choir, I have to talk it over with God. I have to get my say in there. I have to think about all the circumstances, what could go wrong. Do you have a servant's attitude? You say, Brother Mike, I'm a son. I'm a son too. I am. I'm a son of God. I'm His child. But my attitude is, I'm a servant. God does not long for another church member who wants to be seen. God longs for another church member who wants to serve. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, after it's all said and done, we're just servants. God, may that be our attitude this morning. God, may I love other people. May I serve other people. May I do what others don't want to do. Lord, may I obey You completely, 100%. And when there's a line formed at the church, may I always, always, always be last. Lord, raise up more servants at Pocahontas Baptist Church. Lord, I thank You for the servants that are here because there are some folks who have worked themselves to death. Lord, I pray this morning that You would put it on people, other people's hearts to share the burden. God, forgive us for our pride. Forgive us when we think that You owe us something. Lord, when we start growing in faith, when we learn to forgive others, when we learn to walk with You more than we ever have, help us to understand it's just our duty. Lord, work in this invitation time. Deal with Christians. Lord, give us a new thought process. Give us a new way to act. Let us be servants. Lord, if there's someone here that has been trying to run their lives, if there's someone here who's been trying to go to the top of that corporate ladder, Lord, if there's someone here who's digging, trying desperately to make it to the top, help them to know that they have to go to the bottom. Lord, may they give up this morning and give their lives to You and get saved. Lord, if people need to join this church, help them understand this is a place of servants. Whatever needs to be done,